Welcome to Dubs OT, your weekly Warriors podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring interviews with players, coaches, and media members.
Dubs OT is brought to you by TPC Harding Park in San Francisco, home of the 2020 PGA Championship. Enviro Heating and Air, serving all brands of HVAC systems in Sonoma County and Marin County. And Kane's Tire in San Rafael, the lowest prices in Marin for over 60 years. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Woodson and Joe Castellano.
Coming up, we'll talk about Game 1 of the NBA Finals, the Toronto Raptors beating the Golden State Warriors 118-109. But first, I want to tell you about our favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. At TPC Harding Park in San Francisco, not only do you get to play where the pros play, but you also get to play where Warriors play, like Klay Thompson, who hosted a tournament at TPC Harding Park over the summer.
Thompson Family Foundation Golf Tournament. That was so much fun. Shout out to TPC Harding Park for hosting us. I played great too, so that always helps. Just a fun day on the course for a great cause.
Well, Ray, it just seemed like it was the Raptors' night in Game 1 as they win it over the Warriors to take the lead in the series right off the bat, 118-109. And the Warriors just were they're trying to come from behind really the entire game. They were never able to make that run to take over in the second half like they had been doing against Portland. So this looks like it's going to be a long series. These Raptors are really good. I think they were really kind of underestimated. People were saying, you know, Milwaukee, Bucks. And I kept saying, watch out for these Raptors. They're pretty good. And they won four in a row against the Bucks, and now they've won another game here against the mighty Warriors. And things are looking pretty good for Toronto right now. They've got a healthy team, and they've got some players that are on a roll.
Yeah, they are. They've won five in a row now. And listen, they play good defense. We've all noticed that. And you can't play uphill against these guys like you could against Portland. They're a much better defensive team. They close out on shooters well. You know, they've got guys like Kawhi Leonard and Kyle Lowry and Marc Gasol, former Defensive Player of the Year. So, you know, they know how to cover the court. And so that's going to be the dilemma for the Warriors going forward is, you know, making sure that their motion offense is getting guys open. But I think worse than that is the Warriors' defense. You know, Steve Kerr said a postgame, their transition defense was terrible. Their rotations were not good in the first half. A lot of that had to do with, curiously, doubling Kawhi Leonard. Well, they left guys like Marc Gasol open, and he just, you know, he had like 5 seconds to decide whether to shoot. He was like, you know, he was getting a release form from the general manager before he could cast away from three. That's how much time he had. And the other thing is Siakam played the game of his life. I mean, he was tremendous at both ends of the floor. He totally outplayed Draymond Green. That's not to say Draymond played a bad game, but it's not up to the standard that he's going to need to play if the Warriors are going to win games in this series. And of course, they're going without Kevin Durant, and you know what's dying a quick death? The narrative of the Warriors are better without KD. And it's a point I made on Twitter before this series began. Yeah, they could get by Portland and maybe a game and a half against Houston. They're not going to need them against this team because there are going to be a lot of times where they're going to be in a situation where they have to bring it to the low post to KD where he can get a shot almost over almost anybody but also can pass. And they're going to need him at the defensive end as well. Might put a little bit of the pressure off of Draymond at that end of the floor. So I'll be interested to see if they make some adjustments as far as how they defend the Raptors, maybe go a little more straight up. But, of course, the other thing we got to watch for is whether Andre Iguodala is going to be able to play. It looks like he tweaked his calf again. Kerr was saying post-game that he thinks he's okay, but, you know, that's one where you have to wait till the next day to see how bad it is, especially for a player in his mid-30s. But the nice thing is they don't play again until Sunday evening. And, you know, they can get this thing all together, hopefully, with Andrea. They do need him. They do need him. And they do need Kevin Durant to beat the Raptors.
Well, I agree with that wholeheartedly. I mean, I know they played great without Durant in that Portland series. But going against the Raptors, I think they're going to need him. And they really have to hope that the couple of extra days here in between games helps Durant to be ready for game two. And as far as Iguodala is concerned, yeah, that you hope it's just a tweak, but it just seems like that's going to be one where it may bother him the entire series. And if he tries to play in game two. You know, that might aggravate it. He may need to sit out a game, but you know, that's really disheartening because he is so valuable. And getting back to what you said about Siakam, what a game. I mean, 32 points, 14 of 17 from the field. He has improved so much, and you could see it with him most of the playoffs. I had the opportunity to cover the Raptors in the first round against Orlando, and I was so impressed with him. He was the guy that I came away from that series saying, man, that guy is such a good player. He's doing a little bit of everything for them, and he's improved his shooting. I mean, he was not type of shooter before, and he's very aggressive getting to the basket. He is going to be tough to deal with in this series.
Yeah, and, you know, he wasn't real good against Milwaukee, but, you know, he had its moments. But he was playing with such confidence. You could see it grow as the game progressed. And he's going to be a handful for them. And, frankly, they've got to figure out something for Gasol as well. I mean, he hurt him quite a bit. Now, the odds tell you that they're not going to be as effective in Game 2. Like you said, Siakam played the game of his life. But he has been, you know, playing very well at times in this postseason. So it's somebody they got to account for. You know, Kawhi Leonard, you know, he's still pretty good. But are you going to double him all the time? I wonder if you get a lockdown defender on him, because with his calf issue, maybe he's not able to move around as much. And at the other end, you make him move around a little bit more. You know, I think those are things that they have to focus on in Game 2. This is a good game they're playing. There's no doubt about it. They're a good all-around team. They have pretty good depth. They've got some firepower, and you know, I think they're the best defensive team they're going to play in the postseason. And, you know, it's fitting because they are in the finals. But having said all that, I thought the Warriors' defense was one of the reasons, big reasons, they lost this game. If they can tighten that up a little bit, I think you see a different result in Game 2.
Yeah, I mean, you think about the Raptors shooting 51% from the field and getting a lot of those transition buckets. You know, the fast break points were favoring the Raptors. And I don't know, is it the Warriors just not getting back? You know, what is the factor? I mean, definitely this is a team that can run on you, and Kawhi Leonard is going to control a lot of the game. And, you know, it was funny because I think it was Mark Jackson who made a good point about Leonard, that you looked up and all of a sudden he had 23 points. It didn't seem like he had that kind of game. He didn't shoot the ball that well, but he's going to have that kind of impact no matter what.
Wait a minute. Mark Jackson made a good point? Okay.
His first one, no.
Broken clock, yeah. I mean, no, I'm kidding a little bit on that. I mean, there was one time where there was an obvious foul on Curry that they don't call, and he didn't get a lot of calls in Game 1. And Van Gundy's talking about good defense or perfect defense. And then, you know, I cocked my head like a dog that's hearing noise it doesn't understand. You know, whoa, really? Just, you know, there's a few calls like that, as there are in every game. And, you know, you're going to hear a lot about Curry and, you know, not getting calls. That's just the familiar frame going all through his basketball career. I don't think that was the factor tonight. But what was the good point again that Mark Jackson made?
Well, just that it seemed like Kawhi Leonard wasn't having a huge game, but he still ends up with 23 points.
Yeah, he's shooting a lot of free throws there at the end, and you know he's still going to have his impact on the game. He's not quite where he was, you know, and a lot of guys aren't by the end of the season if they have made their way to the finals. But that's just something to monitor as well. But you know, between now and Sunday, does Kevin Durant make a miraculous recovery? I don't know. By Game 3, it will have been 4 weeks. And you know, the last time he had this kind of injury, he was out 7 games and 3 weeks. But it sounds like this one is more serious than they're letting on. But I felt all along that if it was an emergency situation, KD would see the floor. I don't know if Game 2 is an emergency situation. I mean, yeah, you don't want to fall behind 2-0 going back to Oakland, and I think if there's any chance he can get on the floor, he's going to get on the floor. You know, it's tough being parachuted back into the finals when you've been out for a month, but that may be what they need to do. I mean, that's something that we'll continue to monitor, but it doesn't sound like he's going to play in Game 2. I would not be surprised if they have him ready to go for Game 3 in Oakland, though, whether it's 1-1 or 2-0. You know, the other part of this is they did have a 9-day layoff. And there was definitely some rust here, and they were a little slow getting out of the gate, and they were kind of out of sync offensively for much of the first half. They stayed with them. They were still down by 3 in the fourth quarter. So, you consider that probably be a little more mentally, and we say this all the time about this team, but even in a finals game, maybe they're not as engaged as you would expect them to be. I mean, between the result in game one and Draymond and Drake getting into it after the game, I think they're going to be fired up enough for game two. And I wouldn't be surprised if they take that game and bring it back to Oakland tied 1-1.
We'll have more Dubs OT right after this. Dubs OT is brought to you in part by Enviro Heating and Air, licensed, experienced, and affordable HVAC contractors near you. Enviro's experienced team services all brands of HVAC systems in Petaluma, Santa Rosa, Sonoma County, and Marin County. Your air conditioning system is a vital part of keeping your home a comfortable, happy, healthy place to be. A new or existing system is an important investment and will play a key role in your home energy expenses for years to come. Commercial and industrial customers also recognize Enviro's standards for excellence, which includes prompt and professional service. Enviro is known for its integrity and quality HVAC products and services. For your free HVAC air conditioning and heater estimate, call Enviro today at 707-781-8383. That's 707-781-8383 for Enviro Heating and Air. It's pretty unusual for the Warriors to lose game one of a series. It has not happened this year. It didn't happen last year. I was looking back, just the last time I saw that they lost game one of a series was that Oklahoma City series that they had. That was 3 years ago, and they ended up going seven games in that series, which leads me to believe that this is really going to be a long six or seven game series for the Warriors. But, you know, they're not used to opening up the finals on the road either, because usually they have the home court advantage. They don't have it this time. So, some different things going on. And definitely for the Raptors, they've got a great atmosphere there. You know, like you said, Drake at the end of the game with Draymond Green, I don't know what was going on there, but they just have a really good vibe going on. And you've got to play really good basketball to kind of get through that. The Warriors are capable of it, of course. But Toronto, they're playing with a lot of confidence right now. That's what it looks like.
It was a home game that they should have gotten. I mean, it was set up for them. And again, finals games are all important. But this is one I think they really needed to get. If the Warriors were able to sneak in there and get game one, I think there'd be a whole lot of worrying. But this continues the momentum for it. And it's great for Toronto. It's great for Canada. I mean, it's a great town, and the town is lit, as you might expect tonight. It almost looks like a victory parade for winning the finals. And they could very well do it. I mean, but I do think it's going to be a long series. There's one thing I want to point out that Steve Curtis said post-game that kind of puzzled me. And he said, and Clay Thompson said this as well, we didn't know them very well. Okay, well, you could say that about any Eastern Conference team, right? You only play them twice a year. And things have changed in the circumstances between these two teams. You know, you got a lot of guys out for both of the games, key players. I mean, KD goes up there to Toronto. They go overtime without Steph and Clay, and they almost pulled it off. And Toronto comes into Oakland and just smacks the Warriors around without Kawhi Leonard. But those games were a long, long time ago. I don't think they have much bearing on the postseason, especially when you get to the finals. At least Clay said it's not an excuse, but it's just the way it worked out, and you know, just seeing how they operate on the floor. But you know, it didn't seem to be a problem for Toronto. I mean, they didn't know the Warriors very well either. You could make that argument, but hey, that's what we've got scouts for. Oh, by the way, the Raptors were on TV a bunch, so I don't know if that flies and why you would even bring that up after a game one loss. As Clay said, I don't want to make an excuse, but it sounds like an excuse. Okay, so now you know them. Now you know. What are you going to do with that information?
Well, I think that it's pretty cool that these teams haven't played each other much. In fact, I started to think, wouldn't it be even better if they didn't play each other at all? Like, it's really kind of refreshing to see a finals or any type of championship where teams haven't played each other. I guess it just kind of harkens back to watching the World Series as a kid, and you knew that the National League team had not played the American League team, and you were kind of feeling them out throughout the series. I like that. I think it's kind of interesting that you don't know the team that well. But you're right. I mean, that's not an excuse. You did see them a couple times. There were some players that were injured in those series. But with today's day and age of being able to scout a team and watching video, it almost doesn't matter. You would think that wouldn't matter so much. But to have that as being a narrative after game one, it does kind of seem like sour grapes.
It's a little weird. And a little weird hearing that from the Warriors. That's all I can say. In the end, is it going to make a big difference? Game one overreactions are guaranteed, right? So, you're going to hear a whole lot of different stuff. But I think if you look at a wild card game, well, yeah, game one can be that wild card game for two teams that haven't seen each other much. And so a lot of things went right for Toronto tonight. They earned it. They outplayed the Warriors in almost every phase of the game. But again, you know them now. You see them. You know what they can do. You know what they're capable of. What are you going to do about it for game two? And, are you going to have Andre Iguodala to help you? That's going to be a big question that's got to be answered going up to Sunday. But, I felt like in this game, Raptors had the upper hand pretty much from the start. You can't come back from 17 or 18 down as easily against this team like you could against Portland. They're just too good defensively. So, I think after falling behind, the Warriors did a good job of staying with them, within 6, 8, 10 points, but they were never quite able to get over the hump. And so I would be very interested to see in game two if they could take a different approach. One thing I'll say is it looked like Draymond was as aggressive bringing the ball up the floor and initiating the offense early in this game as he was against Portland. And, that might have to do with, the Raptors' transition defense being better than Portland's transition defense. And on the flip side, the Raptors were getting too many fast break points. And that's got to be cut down in game two.
Dubs OT continues in just a moment.
When it's time for new tires, you want the lowest prices and the best service, don't you? Well, Kane's Tire in Sandersville has you covered on both. Kane's has the lowest prices in Marin County, and they provide the warm and welcoming service that you can only receive from a family-run business. And this is a dependable family business that's been around for 61 years. Voted best of Marin for 35 years in a row, Kane's prices beat Costco's prices every time. Kane's Tire, 1531 4th Street in Santa Fe. Give him a call at 415-453-2942. That's 415-453-2942 for Kane's Tire.
Let's hear what the coaches had to say after game one of the NBA Finals. First Steve Kerr and then Nick Nurse.
The biggest thing for me was our transition defense was just awful. And that's the game. That's the number one priority when you play Toronto. You have to take care of their transition. And we gave up 24 fast break points. We turned it over 17 times. So that's the game, really. The other stuff, guys are going to make shots, miss shots. They're going to have good games. They're going to have bad games. But it's kind of the key points that you can take care of that are the most important, and we didn't take care of that that transition.
The big thing is you gotta continue to play defense all throughout the game. Even though you're trying really hard sometimes, and they'll come down and they'll make you look silly sometimes. They'll hit cut, boom, layup, and you're just like, man, what happened? That happened fast. And we just said that some of those breakdowns will happen. We need our weak side to be good. We were close a few on and just didn't rotate on a few of those. But you take it out and you go back down and you try to answer, you get a shot and you try to answer and you try not to have any droughts on offense because, their ability to score quick. I think, again, as I kept saying in the Milwaukee series, offense is really important for us. You're taking care of the ball and getting shots and getting some to go through the net, because if they take it from me, they're down the floor in a hurry, probably spraying for a three. And if they're playing off the rim all the time, they're coming downhill fast at you and either at the rim or spraying.
Ray referenced Klay Thompson's comments after the game. Let's hear what Klay said to the media following game one.
We're not very familiar with this team, but that's no excuse. It's still got to come out here, and our goal was to get one, and it's still on the table for us. So I know we'll respond like the champions we are.
Here's what Pascal Siakam had to say after his 32-point performance in Game 1.
I think for us, we know the team we're playing. We're playing an amazing team. They're the champions, and we just got to be ready. We got to be ready. We won Game 1. We came out with a lot of, it was really aggressive, on defense, and trying to make it tough for the players, to find open shots. But, we know that it's Game 1, and they're going to come out. They're going to make adjustments, and we got to be ready.
Draymond Green also talked to the media.
I think we got to do a better job early on. Like, we gave Siakam a couple wide open threes. We gave Gasol wide open threes, and like there was no rotation. And so, you get guys those type of shots, they get comfortable, and it's a different beast. So I think we did a good job on Kawhi. We got to keep that up, but we have to do a better job on everybody else as well. So our rotation's got to be better. We got to fly around a little bit more. And we got to stop them from getting out in transition.
We'll have more Dubs OT in just a moment. Dubs OT is brought to you in part by Enviro Heating and Air, licensed, experienced, and affordable HVAC contractors near you. Enviro's experienced team services all brands of HVAC systems in Petaluma, Santa Rosa, Sonoma County, and Marin County. Enviro Heating and Air contractors have a solid reputation for having thorough knowledge of residential heating and air conditioning systems, as well as commercial HVAC systems. For your free HVAC air conditioning and heater estimate, call Enviro today at 707-781-8383. That's 707-781-8383 for Enviro Heating and Air. Many wondered if DeMarcus Cousins was going to play, and there he was. He was out there for about 8 minutes, and I didn't think he was that effective. I think Steve Kerr was happy with the minutes that he got out of Cousins, but I'm not sure that having Cousins in there really is an improvement over what they were doing there in the Portland series. So, I don't know how many more minutes I'm going to give him going forward if I'm Steve Kerr. It's not that he's not healthy, but I don't know that he's really bringing to the table what they really need, because what they were doing in that Portland series is they were moving the ball. They were running up the floor. They were passing it quickly. And DeMarcus did make a couple good passes. I will give him that. He made some, and he can pass the ball, but I don't want to see him jacking up a three. He took one of them. He didn't take a bunch of them, but he took one, and I don't want to see that. I'm just not sure that he's going to be a guy that I want to look to in this series. What do you think? I mean, I guess they're going to need him, though, because of the size of Gasol, and, Ibaka is effective, too.
Yeah, they're going to need him. I don't imagine it'll be a whole lot more than 10 minutes. It's going to be a big load on Looney, that's for sure. Cousins, and listen, I mean, you're talking about how as long as it was, and the first game you play is game one of the NBA Finals.
Yeah, it's pretty tough.
It's a pretty tough situation, so I'm not going to judge him off of this game. I mean, he was beaten down the floor a couple of times in transition. He was slow on rotations, but he wasn't the only one. The Warriors were slow on rotations a lot, especially in the half. So, I think that he could be a little more effective in game two. He seemed pretty active, seemed like he was moving pretty well. But, that's if you're Toronto, you're going to attack him right now just to see what he's got. And, that's what any NBA team would do in this situation. But given the Warriors' problems right now with depth, he's got to play. And whether it's 10, 12, 15 minutes, by how well he's playing, of course, but I think you'd see him at least 10 minutes in game two as well. And, it's nice to see him back, first of all, to get points in an NBA Finals game after all the frustration he's had in his career. It was just nice to see him get in, in the box score, if nothing else, in Game 1. But I'm sure he's looking to make a bigger contribution in Game 2.
Another storyline in this series is Patrick McCaw, the former Warrior.
Yeah.
And he hit a big shot, a three for them, and he had a nice assist. And, had some decent minutes there. He's got to be pretty pumped up to be back in action and playing against the Warriors in the finals.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like the Warrior players have any hard feelings about it. They're saying, all right, go ahead, fella, and go out and get the money if you can find it. I think he made a mistake. I don't know what kind of advice he was getting. He ends up in Cleveland, then he gets cast loose, and fortunately for him, he got picked up by a very good basketball team, and so here he is facing off against his old team in the finals, and that was probably the biggest shot he had all year. when you think about it. He had no buckets in the postseason at all. And to have that add-on bucket at the end of the third quarter with the shot clock expiring, that hurt a little bit. And it made, 85-81, 88-81. That was a big bucket, so I'm sure that had to feel good for him. I don't know whether this is going to work out for him in his career. I guess you could say, well, I played finals for two different teams now. So somebody must see something in me. And I think that he can have a career. It's not going to ruin it. I just think he needlessly sidetracked himself. He could have stayed with Warriors, continue to make a contribution. And, when you're on a multiple championship team, you get the shine off that success. And eventually it's going to pay off for you. So I don't know if he profited that much from it this year. Maybe he does down the line. But I think as far as this year is concerned, he made a mistake. Now, in about a week, if the Raptors are handing out rings or getting ready to hand out rings, I'm sure he's going to feel like it was all justified in the end. But the surest bet for him was to stay with the Warriors, and goodness knows they could use him right now. I like the contributions McKinney is making.
Yeah, McKinney looks pretty good. I mean, he's making some threes when he can. He flies in for some rebounds when he can. And I think he's definitely a good guy to have coming off the bench, and certainly a surprise guy that the Warriors weren't really counting on coming into the season. That really has helped him out a lot.
Yeah, and he can be with him for a couple more years at relatively low cost, and those kind of guys are going to be really important with all big financial decisions they have confronting them in this offseason. This thing could go in a lot of different directions depending on the results of these finals and how guys play. I mean, there's a lot at stake here going on in the next few games. But the Warriors have been here before. I mean, I give all the credit to the Raptors, first game in the finals, and they played really well. And they took it to the Warriors, and they earned it. There were a few times when they were throwing up Hail Marys.
Yeah, Van Vliet, that Van Vliet shot.
Van Vliet, the one that rolled around and went in.
Yeah.
But what's the old phrase? Fortune favors the bold. And they were the bolder team in game one. So you just tip your hat to them. This is the finals. Of course you're going to be facing a good team. Hey, listen, I mean, I thought the Warriors were going to be in the same situation last year. It looked like they were going to lose game one. And then it ended up, all the craziness with J.R. Smith, and they end up sweeping. I still felt like had they lost that game, they were going to win the series anyway. And I still feel like the Warriors are going to win this series. It should be a little longer. I think you're right. It probably will go seven games, and they're going to have to win it at Toronto without that home court advantage. But they've done this before. They've won a lot of road games. And I think, 22 consecutive series in the postseason? It's an incredible record. So I don't think they're terribly fazed. I don't think they're terribly happy with the way they played in this game. There's a lot they can pick at that they're going to look at for the next couple of days. Like I said, I think you're going to see a different result on Sunday.
Yeah, I saw Curry clapping his hands right as the game ended, almost as if to say, like, hey, we're ready for the next challenge. Like, he was already thinking about game two. And I know nobody was happy with the officiating, and it wasn't like everybody was complaining like in that Rocket series, but it seemed like both teams weren't happy. I thought there were a lot of really questionable calls, and especially that technical foul against Klay Thompson. That was stupid. I mean, he didn't fire the ball at the official. He threw it on one bounce. He kind of lobbed it over there, and he gets called for a technical. I just didn't understand that one.
Well, the foul call itself was questionable, but yeah, it was the referee from behind him, and Klay was just bouncing the ball up in the direction of the other ref.
Right.
That was a high school ref tech. In fact, I don't think that's fair to high school refs. I mean, that was really weak.
Yeah.
And especially if you know the player. It's not going to do disrespectful things like that. But, these guys, and it's a different assignment here for the officials in the finals, they know that all eyes are on them, and they know the league office. If you see a player bouncing a ball that hits a referee, they're going to err on the side of caution. But I thought it was really weak technical. It didn't change the outcome of the game or anything like that. And I can't get into the officiating too much beyond that. I mean, there were a couple calls on both sides that were pretty egregious.
Yeah, I would say sides, yeah.
Yeah, I just can't do that after game one. I can't. If this is a pattern that continues, I guess I'd be a little concerned. But to me, the officiating was not even the top five story tonight.
I'll tell you one thing that was a story, too, is the way that Kyle Lowry can take charges. That guy knows how to do it,
yeah.
And the Warriors are going to have to figure out a way to get around him and not drive him down to the floor. He just sets up so quickly and perfectly.
He does, and they clog lanes. And they clog passing lanes. And, you know, that just brought a thought to my head when you were talking about OKC and losing game one. Well, a similar team to what OKC had in 16. They've got some length. They can cover the ground on the court. And, you know, the dribble penetration and the one-handed kick-out passes aren't going to work. Trying to get to the bucket, that's not going to work as often. Going to have guys clogging the lane like Lowry, like Marc Gasol. So the ball movement's going to have to be good, but, you know, you got to be ready to shoot when there's an opening, and you got to knock it down. And, you know, the Warriors were, what, about 35, 36%, somewhere in the 30s for this game. I don't have the score right in front of me. Well, Toronto shot 51%. That's obviously a huge difference in this game. They got to shoot better. You know, some of that was Toronto's defense for sure, and not knowing exactly how they were going to handle the Warriors. But the Warriors have to make an adjustment in how they move the ball. And I can hear every fan saying it now, more pick and roll with Curry, you know. this has been a clarion call for years and years and years. I'm just saying, you know, it wouldn't hurt to try it a few times and see how it works out. But I don't think against this team that's bread and butter. I just think with Curry, what they're doing right now is what any team would do because he's going to be a little more dominant on the basketball. Without Kevin Durant in there, he's taking charge of more of the offense. And so they're going to have the bigs who can move pretty well come out on them. But you know what? Who else did that? The Houston Rockets. And they did it rather effectively in their series. And then the Warriors adjusted. And I think you're going to look at breaking down the tape with the coaching staff in the next couple of days.
Well, we'll see what adjustments the Warriors make for Game 2 coming up on Sunday. And make sure you catch us after the game, our podcast, Dubs OT, on thesportsvirus.com.
Thanks for listening to the Dubs OT Warriors podcast. Join Joe Castellano and Ray Woodson again next week on thesportsvirus.com.